What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the fans, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Monday morning. Championship weekend is set after a very entertaining, very competitive divisional playoff weekend that ended with a drop by Mark Andrews on a two-point conversion attempt that would have given us more special football between the Bills and the Ravens. It wasn't the greatest performance with those two guys, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, and the weather had a lot to do with that, obviously, but this was still a really, really entertaining game. And Mark Andrews, who's been a great player for them, one of the best players, offensive players in their history, has to be feeling horrible this morning. Not only did his fumble change the game, but in an opportunity to redeem himself, the ball goes right through his hands on that two-point conversion attempt. And the Bills get another opportunity as they go up to Kansas City to try to slay the dragon. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. First and foremost, happy Martin Luther King Day to you.
Yes,
I also want to say happy Inauguration Day to you and for all of those of us who really feel like change is coming and change is... And change is coming in the right way, no matter what Eddie says. And I feel like a renewed spirit today, so I'm all jacked up about that. The other thing I want to say is yesterday was Turnover Sunday. And when you think about Mark Andrews, that last drop that, you know, that he should have had, I mean, Lamar Jackson short-armed that. He tried to be a little bit too perfect, tried to throw like a little dart, and he kind of like... didn't really just throw it to Mark Andrews and hit him up in the chest like he should have. He had him wide open. It was underthrown.
You really put that on Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, 100% I am.
Really?
Because I know exactly what he did, and he tried to be too perfect, and he just didn't let it go.
But don't you think Mark Andrews has got to catch that ball?
Yeah, of course I do. And of course I know that he shouldn't have fumbled the ball, but I, of course I know that Lamar shouldn't have fumbled the ball in the first half, and Lamar shouldn't have thrown an interception in the first half. Josh Allen is a beast. He's weatherproof. He can do whatever he wants. He can just take over a game. He can run through people, run over people, run around people. And I'm just telling you that the Ravens, you know, should have won the game just based on what you saw, how you felt the game was going, and especially in the second half. And the turnovers is what killed everybody this weekend, with the exception of one team, and that was the Texans, who didn't turn it over. Bobby Slowick was calling a great game. He's their offensive coordinator. It was the referees that were making very questionable calls against Patrick Mahomes. Now, I have this picture in front of me. I love Patrick. Mm-hmm. You know that.
Of course.
We go way back.
Yeah.
We go way back before he even took a snap in Kansas City, where I felt like he was going to be a great quarterback. And he's a great quarterback. And I don't blame him. I blame the officials, who are human beings. They know who they are refereeing the game. They know who's playing in the game. I just feel like the flopping aspect of it, the LeBron flop, his flop, anytime like a great athlete like that flops, whether it be Tom Brady flopping when he played or Peyton Manning flopping when he played, I hate that look. And I think that the Houston Texans got screwed out of a couple things in their game on Saturday. So... three teams lost because of turnovers: the Lions, the Rams, and of course last night the Ravens. And I also think, and this is speculation on my part, And speculation on my part, because when I saw the hit and I saw the remnants of the hit, I figured there's no way this guy's going to return into the game, and that's Jared Goff.
Mm.
And I believe that Jared Goff played the entire second half with a concussion. Now, this is the playoffs. Tom Brady even said it during the game. He's got to get back in there. You know, and there's, I don't know if there's different protocol for the playoffs or not.
Well, there isn't, but I could very easily, you could very easily sort of fugazi pass a concussion test if somebody wants you to go back in the game. I mean, that's just one of those things.
And that was one of those hits where, again, we as NFL fans, we love the NFL. I love the NFL. I played the NFL, covered the NFL all these years. Don't cover it as much like I used to, but we still talk about it here. We cover these teams here incessantly and these games incessantly. But, you know, that hit on Jared Goff should have been a penalty. It wasn't called. If that hit...
Wait, on the interception?
Yes. You're
Why?
Not, you are not allowed to block the... You're allowed to block the quarterback, but you can't hit him like that.
Why not?
Because he's defenseless. That's in the rule book.
Wait a second. How is he defenseless?
You cannot hit the quarterback like that. Did you not listen to the rules expert?
Right. But that doesn't make... I heard that, but I still don't understand... So he's defenseless when he's on defense.
All right,
now.
Let me explain this to you. Back when we played, and I hate to do this, but back when we played, if we threw an interception, the defensive linemen or linebackers
would go right after you.
Well, I mean, when David Ortiz come after us, and they consider the quarterback, you could block him up top, but you can't hit him the way he was hit. You cannot lead with your helmet and hit him in the chin. That's a shot to the head. And by the way, that's not only it's the shot to the head, but it's the impact to the body and then the body hitting the ground. So he had three separate situations that he's dealing with. That is a penalty. So my point being is that penalty, and this is where the conspiracy theories come in. If that was Patrick Mahomes, would a penalty flag been thrown?
Probably, yeah. I mean,
okay, so that's what I'm saying. So there's your conspiracy theory. There's why everybody thinks, you know, with Taylor Swift in the house and Patrick Mahomes, and they're going for a three-peat, then all of a sudden the referees have got to, officiate the game a little bit differently than they do another game, and that's the inconsistency. And that's why, to me, this whole expedited replay thing has to be more a part of the game and has to be able to officiate these particular plays the right way, because there's so much inconsistency between these games.
Yeah, okay. So we hit just about everything there, so I'm not sure what to respond to with that whole thing. But, all right, let's go to Kansas City and the Texans. I do believe, I am one of those guys that believes that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to get every call in a game like that, where the Houston Texans moving on kills the NFL. This week, you're not going to see that. You will not see that for two reasons. One, everybody's on to you because of what happened last week. And two, I think that the NFL would actually prefer to have the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl than the Kansas City Chiefs, because that story is better to me than the three-peat. And I think that most of America at this point is totally sick of the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, they'll still watch the Super Bowl, but I think it's a much better story. So, yeah, in a game where if the Houston Texans move on, that's a disaster for the NFL, you're not going to see Patrick Mahomes get protected more than Josh Allen in the AFC Championship game. There's absolutely no way.
All right, so then you are basically saying that there is a conspiracy and that
I think there's bias. I don't think it's conspiracy. I think there's a bias to great players in every sport. And I think that when it's Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs at home and gets an inferior opponent, I do think that whether it's conscious or unconscious, they get those calls every time. Just like Steph Curry is going to get a call in, you know, at home in a playoff game, or LeBron James, same thing. It just, this stuff happens all the time. Now, do I think that there's some sort of conspiracy where it's coming up from above and they're directing the officials to do that? I'm not ruling it out, but that seems a little bit much to me.
No way.
That seems a little bit much to me. But there is no doubt that in games like that, the great players and the great teams get the benefit of the doubt.
Hey, look, we saw Tom Brady receive a lot of those calls, you know, both when he was in Tampa and when he was in New England. You know, he benefited from being great and being the known player. And like I said, whether it be the referee or the other officials within the crew, they know who's playing the game. They understand.
Yeah.
They know what's going on. I mean, that call when Patrick Mahomes is running with the ball and then decides to, like, slide, like, at the last minute and two defenders
hit themselves.
I mean, the fact that they called that is absolutely so abusive of the rules and a misinterpretation of the rules. And I don't care what the NFL rules analyst says. I don't care what the NFL comes out and tells me today. I could see with my own eyes. We all could see with our own eyes.
Yeah.
And by the way, look, I picked Kansas City to win. I like I told you, I love Patrick Mahomes and everything, but I mean, those calls, a couple of them were ridiculous.
Yeah, and when you see Patrick trying to flop and kind of waiting to get out of bounds, hoping someone's going to hit him so he could draw a penalty, and then, you know, flopping in the way that he did, it is a terrible look, and you do kind of lose some respect for him. But on the other hand, all this guy has done is gotten every single call, and here he is in a game like this, saying, I'm going to do whatever I can to gain an advantage. And if these guys are always going to throw a flag when somebody touches me, then I'm going to try to draw a flag in a situation like this because it's do or die. It's win or go home. So on one hand, it's a great player shouldn't be resorting to that type of flopping. But on the other hand, anybody who wants to win badly is going to do whatever it takes to be able to win. And I'm sure Patrick Mahomes is like, these refs, they give me everything. So why not take advantage of that?
Yeah.
Why not? I'd be stupid not to.
And then you watch these other quarterbacks just get wiped out and no flags. I mean, it's that the hit on Jared Goff was just...
That was the greatest play of the season for me.
I know you.
That was the greatest play of I stood up. I was doing one of these. That's what I was doing. One of these fist pumps. I got up off the couch, stood up, and then especially when I saw Goff's feet in the air,
yep.
Boom! And then they go into the end zone. That I could not have been happier. I don't think I've been as happy the week after my team got eliminated watching a football game than that in my life.
So much for the NFC North. It's the NFC East that turned out to be the beast.
So what is it, a combined 28-5 between the Lions and the Vikings? Neither one of them won a playoff game?
Right.
Great. So much for the regular season, huh?
Yes.
But yeah, that was just amazing. Watching Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. Plus, I have like a Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin connection from the fantasy football season. So watching those guys, those were my guys. I know it's an NFC team. I know I'm not supposed to be rooting for another NFC team, but I can't. There's no way that I could have watched the Lions get to a Super Bowl or win a Super Bowl before I saw my team get to one because I wasn't alive in the 70s.
You know what? This Washington team reminds me of the 07 Giants. There's like a little bit of magic going on here, and a lot of it has to do with how good their defensive line is playing.
Okay.
Their defensive line is playing pretty damn good. I mean, they're getting after people. It's not a well-known defensive line other than maybe Jonathan Allen, but they are getting after people, and they are hitting people, and they are disrupting opposing offenses, and, you know, when you have that group, much like the Giants had that group back in 07. I mean, that is a big part of the success of these teams. So, you know, it's unfortunate that that Jared Goff had to take that hit because, like I said, I think the second half, I'd be surprised if he remembers the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a tough thing for me to speculate on. I have no idea. For all we know, he could have actually been cleared in that tent, but I know exactly what you're saying. It's not... The Detroit Lions, with all the turnovers and how bad their defense was, if Jared Goff was 100% sharp or not, they weren't winning that game.
The other thing about that Lions defense, disorganized, looked like they didn't know what they were doing. I know he's playing with a couple backups.
I don't want to hear that.
That 12 men on the field on 4th and 2.
Yeah, is one of the most disgraceful things you've ever seen.
Disorganized.
From a one seed in that situation, 4th and 2, when they could still get a first down. Wasn't a 4th and goal. They get the first down, 1st and goal. And the whole injury thing, because I was arguing back and forth with a friend of mine on this who's a Jets fan who wants Aaron Glenn. So the with the Lions and the injuries, right? So I say, you know, I mean, this is, say what you want about one game, but this is not good for Aaron Glenn as a head coach candidate. So he goes, oh, you can't blame him, all the injuries. And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. So all the stuff that we were hearing from Aaron Glenn and from people around Aaron Glenn after they shut down the Minnesota Vikings in the Week 18 game, Aaron Glenn's got no players, and he went out there, shut him down, 9 points. Look at what this guy did. It's amazing with all the injuries. So you give him credit when the defense plays well with all the injuries, but it's not his fault when they play like crap with all the injuries.
Well,
the biggest, stop.
Well,
stop.
The biggest difference is that they were playing against Sam Darnold, who's a statue, versus Jaden Daniels, who's running all over the place. And making plays secondarily and just doing it with like a matter of a fact that this is what I always do on a football field, which was amazing all into itself. I go back to worrying about a first-time head coach coming here and organizing an organization to get it and going in the right direction and being buttoned up on the sideline. I always worry about that with all these assistant head coaches that had never been head coaches before, because so much goes into organizing the entire team from game day to practice to the off season, everything that goes into it. And these guys have never, ever had to deal with that. And some guys, you know, can coach 22. Other guys can coach, you know, 53. You know, that's just the way it is. And maybe Aaron can do it, and I hope he gets a chance. I just really am reticent that if the Jets go down this road, that 2 years from now we're going to be sitting here going, who are they going to hire?
Yeah, of course. I mean, and take the name off of it, and Aaron Glenn, and just any coordinator who is a first-time head coach is going to come here and just get totally swallowed up.
And so, the other thing is, like, right now, like, what is their quarterback situation? Yeah, it may be, like, I don't, like, are they bringing Aaron back? Are they not bringing Aaron? How about if you say to Aaron, okay, we want you back. Oh, wait a minute. Well, I got to figure things out. I got to go find out whether or not I still want to play and all this. I mean, like, what? Are you winning or not?
Yeah.
You know, none of this, like, I got to wait. I got to read the tea leaves and feel
well,
like...
he's got to figure out if they want him or not first.
Yeah, but that's the other thing. I don't know. If they don't want him, then what?
Then I think he retires.
No, but that's good for him. But what about the Jets?
Yeah, good luck. I mean, we know the options. We've talked about it for the Giants a million times. You know, you got to draft a guy. You got to stopgap guy. You go, I mean, it's just over and over.
That is not good. That's not good.
Quarterback hell for both the teams. We know this.
A head coach who has no head coaching experience.
Yeah. I mean, we've been saying it for months now. So I don't know if Woody Johnson looks at what happened in Detroit with Aaron Glenn and says, okay, this guy is not my head coach. Or maybe he looks at that and goes, wow, you know, complete disorganization, 12 men on the field and getting completely roasted. This guy's perfect for our franchise. Maybe. It's sort of on brand to be a Jets head coach.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Wild weekend of football. Jerry Recco is here to give us some details from yesterday. What's happening, Jerry?
Good morning. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We'll start with the late game first in Orchard Park. Bills and Ravens. And it's fair to say Mark Andrews had himself a tough finish to this game. This was midway through the fourth quarter with Baltimore driving.
Here's the snap, fakes the handoff, back to pass, has time, looking deep over the middle, wide open is Andrews, gets away from the tackle, but the ball is out, and Terrell Bernard forces the fumble and scoops up the football. Takeaway number 3 for Buffalo.
And that was Bills radio with the call. That would lead to a field goal that put the Bills up by 8-20.
How about earlier in the game when Derrick Henry's running wide open down the sideline and Lamar underthrows him?
Still should have caught it, but bad throw.
I'm not saying that they shouldn't have caught it, guys. I'm just saying bad that the throw. Balls were underthrown.
Well, you really want to crush Lamar Jackson.
I'm just saying the plays were there to be made. They were. And he played a great second half. I'm not saying he didn't. And Matt Milano made a great play in the first two-point attempt. But this one here to Mark Andrews, the two-point play, should have been caught, yes, but it could have been a much better throw.
And that's how I play it. That's how Bills radio saw it, too.
Play clock down to 5. Here's the snap. Jackson rolling right, looking to toss it, and dropping the football. Incomplete is Mark Andrews. It wasn't a well-thrown ball at all. It was behind Andrews, and he could not come up with it. Falling away from the pass, it's incomplete. Wow.
Yeah, it's not a great pass. I'm just telling you.
It still should be caught. That's not a great pass. That's not a terrible
pass. I know what he did. He short-armed it, just like he short-armed the one to Derrick Henry out of the backfield.
He sucks!
No, he doesn't. Well, he's going to be the MVP, and I've said he had a quarterback season for the ages, the greatest quarterback single season anybody's ever had. And he had a great second half yesterday, and he brought his team all the way back. So I'm not saying anything other than the fact that there were two throws that he had, other than the interception, that you know he would have liked to have had back. And that was one to Derrick Henry, who obviously is not known as a great wide receiver, as Tony Romo pointed out. Or a great receiver. And then, of course, this one to Mark Andrews that was a little bit behind him. But, you know, that doesn't take away from Mark Andrews fumbling the ball either.
Yeah.
By the way, that was a great play by the defender for the Buffalo Bills.
I mean, not every pass is going to be completely perfect. You get your hands on it sometimes. You got to say, all right, let's catch the ball. But mm-hmm. in a slippery situation like this, it's tough for the quarterback, a little bit harder for the quarterback. It's a little bit harder for the guys catching the ball. But
Stephen Waldron, please show that highlight one more time, please, as we watch it. And just watch how Lamar throws the ball.
Now, if Mark Andrews catches this, are you saying, boy, the Ravens are lucky because that was a terrible throw?
Watch how he throws it.
Okay, I guess you're not going to answer that. I mean,
it's right in his stomach. Catch the damn ball.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's falling backwards. It's freezing. I mean, it's freezing. It's cold. It's wet. Okay. It's slippery. I mean, you know.
He's got one job there. Catch the ball.
Catch the ball. It's a two-point conversion. And it's in his hands.
Don't fumble the ball.
I got to drop it.
Here's John Harbaugh. What do you say? So 27-25 was the final. What do you say to Andrews after the game?
There's nobody that has more heart and cares more and fights more than Mark. We wouldn't be here without Mark Andrews. You know, that's what you say to him.
And then there was Lamar Jackson who says, do not blame him. I screwed up a lot myself.
We're a team. First half, I had two costly turnovers. Me not holding the safety. Me just knowing the coverage. Me knowing it was man through a BS interception. It was 7-7 at the time. I believe they scored after that. Battle back. Fumble.
Yep.
That's a leader. That's what a leader does. He stands up. He takes accountability. It's not just about one other player. You know, I made my mistakes, and that's exactly what I was glad to hear him say that.
He also would go on to say just too many self-inflicted wounds as a team. He would then apologize for cursing and then would continue to curse.
That's why we lost the game, because as you can see, we're moving the ball wonderfully. It's hold on to the ball. I'm sorry for my language, but it's annoying. I'm tired of
I get it, yeah. Though. And you could see it in his face. Just so disappointed. For the Bills, though, they move on. Here is Josh Allen. Not a great game, really. He threw for 127 yards. Did run for two scores. But he says, we got it done.
Everyone was saying this and that about us. And we didn't have enough talent. Weren't good enough to be in these positions. And our guys just continue to work hard. And we're internally driven. We love each other. And I think you saw how much we played for each other there.
Well, they'll have to play for each other in Kansas City. Here's DeMar Hamlin. Next up, the Chiefs.
They've been, two-time reigning Super Bowl champions back-to-back. Number one seed this year, best record in the NFL. So, you know, it's only right that you got to go through Arrowhead. One of my favorite places to play.
Well, he's going to get a chance to play there on Sunday. The Chiefs did beat the Texans Saturday 23-14 to advance. Next hour, I just pulled all the Aikman and Buck stuff from the Patrick Mahomes play, so we'll have that next hour. This hour, Andy Reid just talking about his team getting through a tough game against Houston.
I'm proud of our guys for how they handled it, and we knocked a little of the rust off. Everybody stayed positive and with each other and that whole bit. And here we sit with a championship game. I mean, we're humbled to be in that position, and fortunate. You know, we appreciate that we're right here at Arrowhead.
Mm-hmm. And that'll
tell you what, Mr. Swift had himself a game, huh?
Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. And that game will be the later game on Sunday. Prior to that will be the NFC Championship game. Now, we knew about the Commanders winning Saturday. More on that in just a moment. Yesterday, you had Mr. 6 yards on 16 carries. Saquon Barkley and the Eagles advancing.
Hurts in the gun on first down. He goes to Barkley. He breaks a tackle. He's on his way.
Uh-oh.
Here he goes. He's at the 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Saquon Barkley, 78 yards.
That'll lock it up.
And so they showed a replay of this where it was Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley talking right before the handoff. So what is that conversation? Because it didn't look like he changed the play, Jalen Hurts, at that point.
I think Saquon said, I got this. So they're looking at the defensive front. They're looking at the defensive configuration. And Jalen can check from one side to the other, depending on what the defensive configuration is. It looked to me like he looked at him and said, I got this. Don't worry about it. Keep it on.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I felt like the conversation was about. And I think that's also what they were talking about in the booth.
Well, that put them up 28-15, and it seemed like with that touchdown, with 4 minutes to go, this game was over because L.A. was really having trouble moving the ball in the snow at that point. And yet they came right down the field, scored a touchdown. Then they got the Eagles to go three and out, got the ball back. They got the big pass play to Puka Nacua. It really looked like they were going to win this game. But then on fourth down, it didn't go so good.
Fourth down and 11. Stafford takes the snap. Looking. Stafford throws to the right side. It's incomplete. Philadelphia's going to hold up. Intended for Nacua. The celebration starts in the city of brotherly love.
You could call him Ian Eagles on Westbrook.
Wow, boy. I caught a lot of this game on the radio. They were great yesterday. He and CD Charles Davis.
He's always great.
Yeah, but the two of them, obviously they work together on CBS when they're doing television games. But yesterday on the radio, they were great, too. And his call, that first run by Saquon Barkley, was unbelievable.
I will see if I can find it.
Yeah, it was great. But I will, the thing about it is that A.J. Brown, once again, only two catches. One was for a big first down late in the game.
Yeah.
But only two catches. So I wonder if he got through the entire book yesterday.
Well, Hurts only threw for 128.
Yeah, the weather had something to do with it. But
Matthew Stafford threw for 350.
Yeah, but I also think that Hurts might have been hurt. He might have hurt his knee or his ankle.
Did you see the car that A.J. Brown showed up in?
I didn't, but I saw the headline.
The Honda Accord.
Yeah. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. He's so interesting. Like, I need to know why. All these other guys will spend so much money. The Range Rovers and the G-Wagons and everything. And
he's
for them.
Probably got all of that. I think that he's sending a message. I think all of this is a message.
To who?
To everybody. Like, I'm just a pedestrian. I'm just a normal guy. I'm not anything special.
Why does he need to do that?
Because he's not getting involved.
But so you're driving a Honda Accord to the game?
Yeah, because he's just another guy. He's just
playing
another
head games.
Guy, man.
Maybe.
I think it's all a message being sent that, he's not happy. That's what I think. Now, Al, get Brandon Graham on the phone. He'll tell us.
Al, do you have any idea who Brandon Graham is?
I know he said something maybe on Spike's show at WIP.
Good for you.
It wasn't Spike's show, but yes, you're right. He did say something on WIP.
Text Spike. Get Brandon Graham's number and then call him up and get him in here.
That's a good idea. Call him up.
Get him in here?
Get him in here.
Come up to New York.
We need to talk about what's going on with A.J. Brown, with the car and the book and the whole aura around A.J. Brown right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly an aura. I don't know why he's sitting around talking to his buddies like, what else can I do to let everybody know that I'm unhappy and I'm not going to get the ball? Why don't you take a Honda Accord to the game?
I'm just and have
that's
it.
And that's the thing.
You know what? Have a picture taken of it. Have it out there. I'm just an average guy. He's no longer a superstar. I'm telling you.
Are sales of the Honda Accord going to spike 53 million percent now? Like
maybe in Philadelphia, yeah.
Maybe.
I just kind of feel like there's this overall message about I'm reading the book. I'm driving the Accord. I'm just a normal guy, man. I'm telling you.
Well, when he gets traded to the Patriots next year, then I'll believe it all.
But that's what I think. But, could be wrong.
Well, Philadelphia will be home against Washington Sunday in the NFC Championship game. The Commanders winning 45-31. Here was the young Jaden Daniels advancing to that title game. That's pretty cool.
Feels good. It's a real moment just for, Washington fan base, whole DMV. This is an awesome feeling.
No, as good as that feeling is for them, that's how bad it is if you're in Detroit. Here was Dan Campbell post-game. That's 20 seconds because he was very emotional and he was trying to keep it together.
It's like the players,
Like wipes his face.
What they put into it. A lot of people don't know you know, what they go through.
And then he would pause again and then really took it hard.
It's my fault. It's my fault.
Yeah, I was eating that up with a spoon, man, on Saturday.
I'm sure you were.
Over and over and over again.
I'm sure you were.
By the way, that my fault thing was in response to a direct question of the 12 men on the field. He said, "Can you? What happened with the 12 men on the field?" And he goes, "It's my fault. It's my fault."
No, it's funny. That's interesting. I couldn't quite hear that, what the question was.
Listen, I'm sorry. There's a defensive coordinator who coordinates the defense. Uh-huh. And the same thing on the offensive side. If there's 12 men on the field or 10 men on the field or whatever it may be, that's why you have coordinators. They coordinate. Now, if there were injuries, you know, it's imperative that the assistant coaches let everybody know who's injured, who's available to play. Some guy might have been injured and just ran out there thinking that, you know, he was back into the game. I don't know. I have no idea what happened, but a miscommunication at the worst possible time.
Yeah, I mean, and you also could have used a timeout in that situation to not get that penalty. That would have been a good time to do it because it gave them a first down.
That maybe that's where the fault may lie with the head coach. So one, the other thing, too, I just want to say about Jaden Daniels, if you watch some of those highlights, he's going after the blitz because it looked like Aaron Glenn was blitzing him the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
And he was standing in the face of the blitz and calmly delivering the ball like he's been in the league for 15 years. I mean, that's exactly how you're supposed to do it. Like, he wasn't frenetic, didn't go running all over the place. He stood in there, knew who his hot receivers were.
He didn't see ghosts.
And he delivered it. And it was really a thing of beautiful. It was the precision was like, you can't expect a rookie to do that. So this kid is obviously accelerated.
Tonight in Atlanta, college football national championship game. You've got Ohio State and Notre Dame. They will kick it off after 7:30. A couple of other quickies for you. The Dodgers signing relief pitcher Tanner Scott, 4 years, $72 million, $20 million signing bonus, and $21 million deferred.
Yeah, nobody wants to pay California taxes,
deferring the money,
especially right now.
Former Mets manager Jeff Torborg passed away. He was 83. The Nets lost to the Thunder, 127-101, 27-10 assists for Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Knicks home for the Hawks this afternoon at 3 p.m. You've got Rutgers at Penn State tonight at 6:30. Your Rangers last night led 1-0. They led 2-1.
Speaking of giveaways.
They led 3-2.
Jesus.
They led 4-3 and ultimately lost.
Caden Gooley, 1:50 to go in the 5-minute overtime. Gooley drops it for Patrick Laine. Laine moves in. Now it's Gooley. Puts it in front. They score.
And that be that. They would win the game 5.
That was a hell of a game last night, man. This was like a playoff atmosphere up there. And the Rangers, they play great. They just, the goalie for the Canadiens, man, just made a couple of unreal stops in overtime and late in this game. But
I've been telling you about Caden Gould for a while now.
I know you have been. This was nasty. There were fights last night. A lot of roughing penalties. I mean, it was a good game.
Really, and good game. The Senators beat the Devils 2-1. Islanders home for the Blue Jackets tonight.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Championship weekend set. We've got the Commanders and the Eagles as the first game, NFC Championship game, and the Bills and the Chiefs, which is the main event to see if Josh Allen can knock off the Kansas City Chiefs. 6:30 on CBS, a big one there. Now, Matthew Stafford can still play. And of course, now with their season over, you're wondering about his future and all of this stuff. So there is a potential out in his contract at the end of this season. So if with both teams in New York that are completely devoid of a quarterback who can play right now, as if we're assuming Aaron Rodgers is not going to come back, if he is available, he is someone I would absolutely pay for a couple of years to play for my team, be a leader, draft a guy, hopefully, and be able to bring him along. Yeah, he's going to be 37 next year, but he could still play, and you saw evidenced by what we saw yesterday in that game. So if he does not want to stay with the Rams, or the Rams don't want him, or whatever the hell's going on out there, and he becomes available, he, at 37 years old, goes right to the top of my list of these guys that are, you know, I don't want to call him a stopgap guy. The guy's a Hall of Famer, but you know what I mean. He goes right to the top of that list.
I just want to ask you one question, and how much...
So he's got, he if he did not get out of his contract, it's $23 million as a base salary.
For the Rams.
For the Rams. If he didn't get out of this contract.
And
so
do the Rams have any penalties attached to his salary if he leaves, and maybe some signing bonus money?
Well, no, but there's an out, so there wouldn't be, you can get out of the contract. So if he wants to get out of the contract, or they want to get out of the contract, there wouldn't be any penalties. So that's a reason why it's more enticing. So it's not going to be like a trade or anything like that. So if there's an out, then let's see. So could there be, if you take, like, the Giants didn't have to pay any dead cap when getting out of Daniel Jones's contract, did they?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, they did?
There's some, yeah. There's a little bit.
Okay.
Not much, but I'm just trying to understand Matthew's contract here. Let me just take a look. So, you see, there is an out, but he also has a potential of staying there for 3 more years.
Right.
So there is dead cap money. Let's see. There is, you know, it's hard to understand all of this because it could be flushed around. But it looks like a $50 million dead cap.
But there's post June 1st. There's a million things. It's almost impossible to figure out. A lot of these things get figured out. I never thought that Russell Wilson would ever be cut by the Denver Broncos and they pay the dead cap. Things can happen.
Here you go. Potential out 2025, which means that he would have signed a 3-year, $125 million contract. And then there's a $50 million dead cap hit. So that is if he opts out in 2025, it looks like there's a dead cap hit of $49 million.
But how, I mean,
and his cap hit this
they would
year,
have to, but no, the Rams would have to get out of the contract if there'd be a dead cap. You can't, as
you're not accepting the dead cap. No, this is the Rams' dead cap.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Why would the Rams want to get out of it? Why wouldn't they want him?
I mean, maybe to reset. I don't, their salary cap situation has been rough. Maybe to reset at that position. There could be, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why guys at 37 years old end up not being a quarterback. So,
and I also think that he is probably playing the game. Like, I want to see what I want to do here. I'm not sure if I really want to play. And maybe he wants a contract extension from the Rams. He wants more money from the Rams.
Yeah. And he could also retire.
Why would he retire if he played like that yesterday? Now, I know early on, I was talking to a couple guys during the game, and they felt like Matthew Stafford missed a couple easy throws that he should have hit. But there's no question that, he got his team back in the game late, under 4 minutes, had 2 drives.
Yeah, but we've seen lots of guys retire earlier than they seemed like they were done, including Aaron Donald, who was on this team with the Rams. He decided I was done, he was done, and the guy was still playing great football. So
how much do you think Matthew Stafford has made his entire career?
$330 million.
$365 million.
Pretty good.
You got to remember, I think he was the one, wasn't he, like, it was him and Sam Bradford, maybe they were the last guys to get the big contracts when they came
out. Well, Sam Bradford definitely was the last one. I'm pretty sure he was the last one to get the big rookie contract.
All right, so Matthew Stafford also got the big rookie contract.
Yes, he did, and number one overall pick that certainly has paid off for two organizations, didn't take the Lions to a Super Bowl, but still was a very good quarterback for a long time there.
I think he's probably gotten 5 different contracts along the way.
Pretty good.
It is pretty good, but when you think about what the guys are making right now, he's underpaid. He's making about $42 million a year. That's underpaid compared to what everybody else is making above him.